And welcome, rugby fans, again to that familiar place where you come to find out everything you need to know about rugby in North America. Of course, this is the Rugby Rant Pod, and in fact, episode 105. What a journey it has been here with the gang. We got a few of the firm favorites, but of course, you know them, but it's best to reintroduce the team. My name is Ty Braga. We got Scott, the big guy Ferrara, Mike, the grand poobah Parazzini, and Rob, the hammer Hammerschmidt, here today for episode 105. And as you know, gentlemen, what we like to be able to do is kick off every episode by talking about what fans should know about rugby, what's going on out there, and we're going to give them a glimpse of that.
I gotta interrupt while we're talking about what they need to know. I just discovered, now we've known Scott's known Mikey forever, but I've only known Mikey for just a short amount of time, and I just found out last week on Mike the Grand Poobah Parazzini's Facebook page. It was his birthday last week, and there is a Mrs. Grand Poobah. I didn't know this. So the fact that we finally got to see a Mrs. Grand Poobah at some point, please bring her on, put the tear on her so she can get her due as a rugby queen.
Absolutely, yeah.
I like it a lot. All right. So, gentlemen, best we be able to take some moments apart to be able to dive into what we know as Around the Pitch, and we'll be back in just a moment.
So I'm going to kick it off, Rugby Rant fans, and I'm going with in one week we have the MLR Collegiate Draft 2022. That's August 18th, starting at 7 p.m. on FS2. That's the first round. The second, third round will be live on TRN. And the big guy and the hammer will be live on the on episode 106. So follow us. We're going to be doing live draft analysis while they're going round through round. This is our third year doing it. We are the only people doing draft analysis live. Make sure you watch us.
Yeah, and I'll be on a plane.
Ty's going to be having fun in Rugby Town, and us, yeomen are down here working.
You guys will make it fun. You'll make it fun. Somebody's got to hold down the fort, right? Hey, all right, Mike, what do you got for us?
So I would like to bring attention to USA Rugby's newest partnership, Oddballs. They announced it this past week with, I believe the U.S. Women's Sevens team in underwear, as well as the men's 15s team in underwear. For those that don't know about Oddballs, they make underwear, and they are specifically in the business of raising awareness for testicular cancer, cervical cancer. They do work with My Name's Dottie Foundation, which is motor neuro disease, and all while, doing stylish designs in the meantime for underwear. So it's great to see, Oddballs teaming up with USA Rugby.
I like it a lot.
I'd love to get some Oddball underwear with the Rugby Rant logo plastered, maybe on the front.
I think that's really, really actually something we should throw out there. Right. I think there will probably be a lot that would enjoy it.
You can only imagine what would happen. The big guy's strutting in and he walks in on the and on the Mrs. Big Guy and says, "Hey, babe, look what I just got."
going back to our young early episodes where I was doing those awesome Manscaped ads, huh?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's well-crafted advert script there. I like it a lot. Rob, the Hammer Hammerschmidt, what's next?
Yeah, I'm going to throw a shout-out to my guy, Ryan Fitzgerald, the GM down there in NOLA. He just inked a five-year extension on his contract. It's notable because, in my mind, Ryan has done one heck of a job finding, identifying, and developing young American talent. And we know that, Dino Waldron, we had him on a couple of weeks ago. Scott and I did the RPK. It was a 21-year-old guy, never played rugby, and, found his way into the NOLA Gold and into the U.S. Eagles. Of course, Matt Harmon has found his way in the Eagles roster. Andrew Guerra found his way in the Eagles roster. And, of course, Moni Tongawea had been a center and was switched by Ryan into the loose and has found his way into the U.S. Eagles. And then, I'm hoping there's two young aspiring props that can make their way there in Brian Nolte. And we have a new big guy. Oh, I had his name written down before. So anyway.
I'll CTE, setting in early, fellas.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, but you know what I do like that you mentioned is that this is a 5-year deal. I mean, this is a long commitment. Yeah. It's already been a great relationship, but it really shows a vote of confidence when you decide to be able to sign a 5-year deal. That commitment.
Sam Klimowski.
Jeez, add Tourette's to that list.
stand out from the 2021 rugby showcase, by the way. Yeah.
Just, they're like, attacked me with that name there, Rob. So let's stick on the theme of management here for a moment. And it's very common to be able to see the reshuffling in the off season, whether it be on the field or off the field. This is very common as you kind of set the foundation for the season ahead. And a lot of organizations have looked at management at the highest levels, one of which is Old Glory DC. Had a disappointing season, of course. They did make some strides back in the end. You know, there's obviously going to be difficult conversations at the boardroom tables after that. So they decided, okay, well, something we need to be able to focus on is the front office organization, but we need somebody who's got an overall view. That person has been chosen as the GM for the operations, commercial operations, the operations scope and scale for Marcelo Blanco is the name of the gentleman coming in. First time in their franchise history they've had this position. Background in finance, politics, and sports, mostly in Argentina. Strong ties to the Scottish Rugby Union, which you also know OGDC has had. In fact, his relationship goes as far back as 2011 with the Scottish Rugby Union. So wonderful to be able to see somebody who's got that firm background in finance, in operations, but still is a rugby person taking the helm there and kind of steering them a little bit more forward. So I wanted to also highlight Dallas. Obviously, Dallas had had much higher hopes for their season. But it didn't work out according to plan. So they're going to make sure that they bring in right at the top new team president. This is Steve Violetta as the president. Most notable resume points would be the fact that this guy has actually been involved in 5 NHL franchises, Major League Baseball. At one time was also a development side for baseball as well, management. So there's a wealth of experience coming in there, but he's going to be looking at everything from ticketing to the commercial sponsorships and everything in between to kind of make sure that everything is according to the growth strategy. And this is what rugby needs. You know, we're looking at teams that are thinking now you need to separate the rugby manager and the general management of the team. You can't ask one person to do it all. So it's great to be able to see positions like these. Scott, what else have you got?
Well, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but we've had a lot of major trades. So I'm going to go over the last 5. So starting on 7/18, NOLA receives salary cap considerations in 2023 from Rugby New York. Rugby New York receives the service rights to Nick Feeks, a winger.
Yeah, I'm crying inside, Scott.
I know. You know, so that was an interesting move by your buddy Fitz. But, you know, obviously we've seen it a couple times where players have to move for family, and we've been hearing kind of chirps about it's a family move. Yeah. And listen, you know, family's number one. Then on 7/29, Toronto traded Andrew Quatrin to Utah. Utah gave up one international slot to Toronto. Then on 8/4, Andrew Quatrin moves again. Andrew Quatrin gets traded from Utah to New England. New England then sends salary cap considerations for 2023 back to Utah. That same day, Utah makes another trade. They receive salary cap considerations for 2023, and the Seattle Seawolves receive playing rights to Mike Gelsom. And then the last trade, 8/5, so that we've had so far, is NOLA receives the playing rights to James Fiale, and Utah receives NOLA's second-round pick in the 2022 collegiate draft. So we had 5 big moves. Utah, you know, really out of 5 big moves, they made 4 of them. They really are looking to do something this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, Utah, unfortunately, one of those that we had expected more from last season. So it's not surprising to be able to see a few things changing in the roster and the lineups there. So let's hand over to Mikey, the Grand Poobah.
So I'm going north of the border, the U.S. border, that is, over, up to Canada for this one. This was brought to my attention by 99 Social or Pints and Scrums on Instagram. But apparently World Rugby has given University of Calgary $500,000 to boost research into a female rugby concussion study. And so this is good. This is, you know, concussion and player welfare is a big thing on everyone's kind of minds in the rugby world. We talk about, you know, how everyone, we need to keep making sure that everyone is safe and that, you know, people aren't getting traumatic head injuries. So it's good to see that, you know, World Rugby is investing money to make sure that, you know, something is being done. So they're talking the talk and they're walking the walk as well. So it's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. This really is coming into relevance more and more as the weeks go by, and will continue to do so as there's a pending lawsuit that's going to be filed against World Rugby from, I think it's more like 100 players they've actually managed to be able to get in this. But it's all talking about, you know, the impact of CTE and now looking at how to be able to identify it earlier and its repercussions. These are the important steps. So thanks for highlighting that, though, Mike. Really important. So let's throw it over to Rob again.
Thanks, Ty. So as I talk about this next one, I'm going to focus on college rugby for just a bit. I want to remind everybody to keep checking out the Rugby Rant. We got a new segment being spearheaded by the big guy called Running a Bronco with the Big Guy. He's going to be talking to college, high school, youth, you know, all our developing players, those guys that don't necessarily get all the attention on the RPK, but are the future of our rugby. And on that note, I want to talk about the future of rugby, and that is college rugby. So there's a bit of a change in college rugby. It's not as monumental as it would seem. The College Rugby Association of America, the CRA, and I forgive me if I screw up some of these acronyms because there are a lot of them here. But they're the organization that's supported by USA Rugby. The ACR, which is the American College Rugby, which has, I think, 68 teams in it, men's teams, excuse me, in it, and then the American College Rugby Association, who has 55 women's teams, have merged under that College Rugby Association of America. And so we're seeing that you know, Wild West of collegiate rugby shrink just a little bit, get a little bit more organized. You go from six organizations to four organizations. So just so you know, anybody that's keeping track, you got CRA, the College Rugby Association of America, sanctioned by USA Rugby. It has your D1A men's, your D1 elite women's, D1 and D2 for men and women's. That's one. You got the NIRA, which is the National Women's Varsity, and there are 22 programs in that. Then you got, of course, NCR, which is by and large the largest collegiate organization, governing body, has about 15,000 members. 70% of collegiate programs are involved in that. They put on the CRCs, and then there's some independents. So, you know, I don't envision a time in which we're going to see all four organizations fall under one umbrella. I mean, it doesn't even happen in collegiate sports because you have the NCAA and you have the NAIA. But could this be one step closer to perhaps a little bit more unification in terms of 15 season, when that's going to happen for all collegiate rugby, a 7 season, right, when that's going to happen? I sure hope so, because I think rugby fans would only benefit and rugby would only benefit in development through a little bit more organization at the college level.
It's a closer alignment than it's ever been before. So it's a step in the right direction, but you know, sure. Is it the answers to everything? No, but it's a step in the right direction. Talking about the amateur game again for a moment, National Club Sevens is going to be taking place this weekend. St. Louis is its location, and where can you watch it? You got to tune into the Rugby Network. So if you're craving some rugby action, you want to see that next generation, high energy, fast pace that Sevens has always promised is going to be on offer. So you got to tune in this weekend. That's the 13th and the 14th of August. Make sure that you check it out on the Rugby Network. You're going to see very much important players from both sides, men's and women's game, that future generation, and make sure that you check it out. Again, thank you very much, gentlemen, for sharing what people should know, and again, covering everything rugby here on the Rugby Rant podcast show. And we'll be back in just a few moments after a few words from one of our sponsors.
Tight Head Brewing Company is not just Chicago's premier location to watch rugby and enjoy quality ales and lagers. It is also a great place to enjoy local acts performing live music every Thursday and Saturday nights. Additionally, their Wednesday night trivia nights are something not to be missed. Tight Head is located in Mundelein, Illinois, and easily accessible for many Chicagoans, as it is just steps away from the metro. Owner Bruce Durr and the Tight Head staff are dedicated to ensure your microbrew experience is as tight as their beers. Bruce's love for rugby extends beyond the origin of his brewery's name. Tight Head is committed to supporting the rugby community. This includes his support for Lake County RFC and our own Rugby Rant podcast show. Tight Head's tap room is like the familiar rugby clubhouse in which friends and teammates can meet, socialize, and enjoy the wide variety of brews on tap. Regardless of whether your palate enjoys a good IPA or dark barrel-aged brew, Tight Head can deliver. Hey, Chicago, when you want rugby, Tight Head Brewing Company will satisfy your thirst. Tight Head, it's worth more than a try.
Welcome back, rugby fans. It's that time again to be able to go into our rugby debates. This is where our team shines. This is where we do what we do, gentlemen, and that's rant about everything rugby. But this time, what are we talking about? Well, we are talking about sevens. It's obviously a hot topic right now. It's the trend. We've moved from the 15s into the sevens season here in many ways. And that important introduction to the sevens calendar is the PR Sevens. It's the only professional sevens league domestically right now. So it deserves to be put center stage, at least for this period of rugby in the rugby calendar. So what are we talking about? PR Sevens originally started in October, I think it was, last year. And that happened in Memphis, AutoZone Park. It was a 10,000-seater stadium. They ended up with about 50% of that, which was pretty good for a first time around. I mean, to launch something from nothing was impressive enough. It was shown on Fox Sports. I think FS2, in fact, not FS1. And that was something that we might dive into a little bit later, talking about broadcast. But really, the question we're asking here, gentlemen, has it grown? What is the success of it so far? And where might we see it go in the future for Premier Rugby Sevens in North America? And we're going to open up this rant in reverse order. We didn't actually plan this beforehand, so I'm going to swing it over to my right-hand side on the screen. So I should go this way to Mr. Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. What are your thoughts about PR Sevens?
Well, I love the concept of PR Sevens. Of course, last year Memphis was a proof of concept, and it proved that it was a viable product. And of course, this year they spread it across regionally, you know, East, Midwest, and West, which is always great to see. But there are some real strengths, and I think there's some positive to come out of it. I think there were some things that I kind of left scratching my head a little bit that I'd like them to consider moving forward. Hopefully they adjust and adapt. I was a little frustrated because, number one, there were a lot of rugby events going on in the calendar at that time. Remember, we had Rugby World Cup qualifiers in two of the three weekends.
Sure.
That was frustrating for a guy who wanted to watch the Eagles try to qualify for the World Cup. And because you couldn't like rebroadcast the stream, if you missed the original run out, you couldn't record it, and you couldn't just, you know, restream it for yourself. So I didn't get a chance to watch any of the play, and I thought it was hard to find on the free version. I tried several times and I failed miserably.
And of course, you're talking about Fubo TV, yeah, as opposed to its traditional home. Well, if we can call it traditional the first time around on Fox, just wanted everybody to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So that I question a bit. It's great for rugby because it exposes the festival format's traditional. Mm-hmm. Love it. And for this type of rugby, I like the idea that it's not, you know, city-based, that it travels from different cities. Teams aren't city-based by that. That's what I mean. I love that idea. And it exposes maybe up and coming athletes to the possibility for the Olympic team, the ODB process, and being part of the USA Seven setup. And of course that happened last year with the MVP Logan Tago, who played for the experts this year. And then he had to go, to USA training, to USA camp, but you know, he was found out through this process, and that can only be a successful thing. It's good to see some of the MLR guys, of course, you know, guys like Patrick Madden, who, you know, scored it an important try, shine. But what about club players who ingrained in sevens who might want to get a shot or a chance? They had to make a choice between playing in, you know, two or three series weekends and then being exempt from playing with their club, right? And I think that limits some of the club players that could possibly develop into, you know, future sevens players. Those were some of my concerns, but overall, I love the idea. I just hope they work it out better in the rugby calendar and they find a little bit better format so that people can catch up and watch a stream.
Yeah, and I was hoping to be able to hear a couple of the takeaways that people, you know, having heard your rant there, would walk away with, knowing that for you, the concerns was the viewing ability, moving from Fox through to its new streaming home with Fubo TV. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong, but how to pronounce it. But it happened anyways. So then also the ability to be able to work it into the current calendar, where, you know, that's a struggle with almost any event when you add something new to the calendar. It's already squashed. It's already troublesome. So, yeah, but those are those you would hope to be able to see worked out a little bit better, especially when you consider that it's overlapping with two of the main events in July for us, at least this year, was the qualifiers for USA Rugby. Now, even if it's not the qualifiers, it will still be in a July international window. You know, so that's something to think of. I like you, the fact that you brought that up. Regardless whether it was the qualifiers or not, there's still going to be rugby internationally. Let's hand it over to Mike, the Grand Poobah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, it clearly, you know, it has grown. You know, we went from one, you know, event last year. They took the onus upon themselves. They made three events this year. From all things considered, you know, or from what we're hearing, it seemed like it was, you know, widely attended. We don't know the viewership numbers yet. I can say, though, I did not watch a single match, unfortunately. I just either didn't have the time or, like, half of the rugby players in America, you know, 2 weekends ago, on the weekend of the 30th, I was at a rugby tournament, whether it be, you know, Can-Am's weekend, pitch a tent. But it seemed like every single rugby tournament was happening that weekend. Right. And I know that I think moving forward, Sevens is – I'm gonna hate my – my past self is going to hate me for saying this, but Sevens is the future for rugby right now, especially for like
in America, for rugby, sure.
In America, you know, the TikTok generation loves Sevens. You know, you see the seven stars. It's quick paced game. It's fast. I'm not sure how many of those people, though, how many of those kids, though, are, you know, gravitating to watch PR Sevens, especially on a platform that I didn't even know about. It was on until I looked it up today, you know, so mm-hmm. I think there's definitely room to grow, and it is growing. I think it's made its first few steps forward, but there are definitely some things that need to happen to make it a complete, you know, and success to continue to grow, you know, rugby in the U.S.
Well, for sure. I mean, second time around, you're hopefully moving a little bit farther forward, and third time around,
they've definitely moved the ball forward. It's a question of have they moved the ball forward enough to make a dent, to make sure that, you know, they can keep doing it for years to come.
Right, and we're gonna put a pin in that for now, because that'll be a part of your final thoughts as to where you lie on that topic. But I wanted to return to something that you mentioned, is really how many people are attending, what's the ticket sales. We don't have specifics. But if we can take a best guess scenario from what we know, you know, one of us here has actually been at the events last year and this year alone. We'll hand it over to Scott in a moment as our authority here on the subject. But from what we know, what little we do know, it's the optics would suggest that the attendance has actually been pretty reasonable. So what do we consider reasonable? 3,000 to 4,000 per an event. In stadiums that house 10,000 plus. So you're looking at 30 to 40%. I tell you what, there are a lot of stadiums professionally in rugby in the US that are not achieving those numbers consistently for each match. You might argue that they are even better than some of the numbers, regular season games, that the MLR sides had achieved. So if that's the measurement to hold it up against in professional rugby, they're not doing too badly, right? And that's worth mentioning. You know, the fan engagement, we all know how great a product is for Sevens to get people engaged. It's easy to understand. It's easy to enjoy. It's a shorter game. They don't have to be able to understand much of the rules, but they can enjoy the game so much more easily because of it. And it's something else that you mentioned, though, before, is you don't know how many of the rugby-loving culture like you that might actually be able to watch it because you're attending other events, you're doing other tournaments. If you're a player or you're helping to organize the events, you're not involved, but you're not their target market. Yep. You're going to watch the rugby if it's available, right? But it's the new audiences that you are trying to be able to see, and that's what we don't know. But what World Rugby does know, and they hired somebody brand new this year, recently announced, just to be improving fan engagement for rugby, and World Rugby has said Sevens is the medium to do so. So clearly, PR Sevens has a lot more room to grow than perhaps other versions of the same game do. So let's hand it over to Scott to hear your thoughts as our authority on the subject here today.
Let's get hot, baby. So I want to just talk about some of the facts Mike and Rob brought up, specifically about the viewership and didn't know where to go. I mean, they literally put the links. This is the link. It's starting now on all their social media. And as Mike talked about, you know, the TikTok generation is the Sevens generation. So those guys found out where to watch it for free on FUBU Sports online. I mean, I streamed the first weekend.
But
I streamed
no
the
one
second
north
weekend.
Of 50 like Rob Hammerschmidt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know what? No, but my point is, where if you want to talk about fan engagement, a lot of people north of 50 also think sevens isn't the best form of, you know, format right. of rugby, you know? So
you're yeah, right, because they have a purist attitude that 15 is the game they enjoy.
Exactly. The second thing is, you know, and Rob was talking about bringing in local players, you know, the Rhinos did have a partnership. They have an ownership of the Loggerheads title, and they brought in their high performance shop and their academy, the Rhinos Academy, in to play on the Loggerheads. So I think we're going to see more of the corporate aspect of teams partnering with some of these high performance academies and bring in players that way. You know, I think it's just something that it was a kind of a news thing that they slapped on them. There's a 3-year agreement to provide on-field high performance, training to the Loggerheads, you know, and I think it's just something that, because it only happened to one team, it wasn't as big news, but I think it's starting to infiltrate as far as that concerned. So for my aspect from actually going to DC, yeah, there's about 3,500, 4,000 there in the rain. We had a 90-minute rain delay at one point. What I liked that they didn't have in Memphis was they actually had booths, and it was OGDC were there, and they were playing. They had Jenga. You kick the ball, you know, pass the ball through the thing, and they were talking about OGs and the young OGs, right? They had the WNBA for DC team was there, just talking about women's sports. They had the USA Women's Traveling Museum, which was friggin' awesome. It was so cool to see all the artifacts that were there, and it had traveled. And Rob had spoke about this a couple months ago because it was at the WPL match in Chicago, and he hit me up. He's like, hey, they told me they're gonna be a PR7s, take a look. It was outstanding. And then they had several other booths, and my point was, they're starting to create that atmosphere where in between matches and when they're checking the field, you can go and you could do something. It breaks up the rugby a little bit, but you can come right back to the rugby when it starts. The other thing I want to talk about is actually the rugby play that was happening. And, you know, I was up in the booth for a bunch. I was down doing interviews, which you guys will see later in our RPK segment. And, man, they were smacking each other, especially the women. There were some big hits that you heard. I heard all the way up at the booth when they made contact. The play was a little more unified. You know, they had played in San Jose. They had 2 weeks of practice before that, a week of practice, then in D.C., then another 2 weeks, and then they played in Austin. So, I mean, they had about 4 or 5, 6 weeks of practice. And the men's and the women's teams were all practicing together. If you'll notice in the interviews, the men's and the women's teams both talk about how they were hanging out with the women's or men's team, or they were practicing together, and they actually were one big team and not separate units, which it was kind of like last year. And there was big names there. Abby Gastitis was there. You know, Logan Tago was there. His brother was there. Devin Short, Patrick Madden, we talked about. Patrick Madden took the Loggerheads from essentially a last place team to win the entire thing. And then, of course, this year we had the United Championship, which the headliners won, which was they had the most points for men's and women's. So it wasn't just a women's championship. It wasn't a men's championship. It was combined what those points mean. So every match meant something because you want to get those points. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we don't want people to forget as well that they're a bit of a pioneer in terms of the sporting landscape, that it's equal pay for every participant. So, you know, continuing that same theme, it's great to be able to see them share championship title as opposed to competing individually by gender, you know? And that's wonderful to be able to do. So it's also a great ambassador component for the sport. It's bringing new eyeballs. It's engaging audiences we haven't maybe necessarily engaged before. And let's be honest, no rugby in America has engaged the audience that it should just yet. And this might very well be another great tool. There are some who might say we're getting to the point that there's just too much rugby, that we're overpopulating our rugby calendar, that we're saturating the product of sevens and rugby in general because of these derivative versions of the game we know and love, right? These are the naysayers out there. To them, what do we say, Scott?
Well, I got to be honest. You know, these aren't guys who are right now going to be picked for the Eagles anyway. If they were picked for the Eagles, they wouldn't play on the PR7s. We had a whole bunch of women's sevens players who didn't play in this tournament because the week after they're starting their first week at Eagles camp for the World Cup this year. So, I mean, I think you get those people, and this goes back to the Hammer's point about like bringing up the youth. You're seeing you're going to see more and more players come up through this PR7s, I think, as we have these bigger tournaments happening around it. Now, do I agree? Is it a pain in the ass to be trying to watch Flow and trying to watch FUBU Sports at the same time? Yes, but here's the thing. This was like a 6 or 7 hour event. So you watch your 2 hours of the Eagles, and then you watch the
right,
rest
and you
of
got 3 days to catch it too. Well, sorry, one day, but 3 days of yes. of action if you add it all up.
Absolutely. So I think, do I think it's the calendar's getting messy? Yes, but I think because it's sevens, you do have the player pool to continue with that exciting play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, to quote Tim Meadows' character on Saturday Night Live, the ladies' man, yeah, you can never have too much rugby. So, I think Scott's got a valid point. You can catch it on FUBU. Again, that would go to my point, which is if they had it streamed where you could pick up it at any time and watch it the day after, or maybe a little bit earlier, a little bit later to adjust your calendar for a guy like Mike, you might be playing that day, could catch it the next day, and they could still gain some traction. I think that would be a market improvement. But I do, at the risk of throwing myself out of contention for the Rant Trophy this week, I'm going to take issue with Ty. You said that it's not, Mikey isn't like the target market for them. And I disagree. I mean, I think when any rugby...
I didn't say Mikey wasn't. I said you weren't.
The guy's playing club rugby like Mikey because he was away on the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, when selling rugby to mm-hmm. the American public, what's the number one thing that you bring up to investors and advertisers? It's the amount of registered men and women playing rugby. Why? Because they're part of your target audience. So why do they get mentioned in the convo about your target audience if then you turn around and say, well, that's not who we're yeah. trying to appeal
no,
to.
No, but no, that's not what Ty was saying. But and I want to ask Mike a question. Mike, what time did your tournament start?
It started my first game was at 9 a.m.
And when did that day end?
My last game ended at 7 p.m.
So what's your alibi? Yeah.
My point is they started every PR7's event at 3 p.m. and ended around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
So you could have caught the last 3 hours of the event. And let's
Why
be honest.
Why didn't you, Mikey? What's wrong with you?
No. But my point is you're not. And I know Mike was in big sevens tournaments where he wasn't playing every second of the day. He could have taken a break, yeah. popped on his phone because it was on FUBU Sports and not on sure. FS2 and watched it and took a little break. So my point is it is marketing to those people. And a lot of the people that were in attendance had their rugby club gear on. So it was those people who didn't go to those tournaments.
Now, I will say, look, I looked for it on the FUBU app, which is on my Roku, and I couldn't find it, right? So I'm not sure why it wasn't available or why it wasn't there or some of the struggle.
But if you're trying to market
a product, you don't want to make it hard for people
but
to find it.
But it wasn't hard. You go to their social media and you literally
click the link. You sent me a link, and I clicked on it, and it didn't work. So
that sounds like I just like
it was going to cost me. It was going to ask me to sign up
your
for
fault,
a cost.
Scott. Dude, it's your
no,
fault.
You asked me what FUBU TV was. I said this was FUBU TV. FUBU Sports Network is free on their online. So I think that's where there's some confusion, Rob. And like I said, if you followed their social media because you're a fan, they posted it several times.
So gentlemen, let's take a moment to be able to reflect on what we've got here right now. Mike, the Grand Poobah, has shared his alibi with us. He did not do it. He was busy between 9 and 6 p.m., but he has no excuses as a rugby fan why he did not watch it. Rob is clearly technology disadvantaged, like much of the population his age, and couldn't figure it out. Scott Farrar was the only one there. So let me start it off with you on your final thoughts. Where is this going in the future, and was it a success to date?
I think it was a success. They brought the number of teams down. Last year, they had an issue with attrition. They came out with a format that was better than last year, that made more sense, and that included the men's teams and the women's teams for each franchise. There were, on average, there were more people if you spread over the events, and it was a coast-to-coast and then a middle-of-the-country thing. So they kind of hit every area. Do I think they need to go further than that in the future? I think next year they still do three. They see how it goes, mm-hmm. but it is growing incrementally. And I think you will see the rise of this as it gets up. And as you see people hang up the boots, Masson Hughes hung up international rugby. He came in, he played for the experts, and he hit a conversion at the death to beat the Loggerheads in the semifinal match that only Masson Hughes could hit. And Ish Shabazz from the Headliners goes, you know, if I'm going to lose, I want on Masson Hughes to hit a conversion from halfway down the field all the way to the right. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah. I think it's incrementally on the rise. It doesn't need to do too much next year to be better. I think the format stays the same. Maybe they add one extra stop somewhere, maybe in the northern Midwest instead of Texas southern area. And I think they'll be good.
Yeah. So you're saying, you know, baby steps, really. I mean, exactly. What you've got is a good product. You want to walk before you run. And certainly that's the best way to grow the sport here in the U.S. because there's a lot of failed cases that you could learn from, right?
Absolutely.
So let's hang it over to Mike. What do you got to share?
First, I was going to say, I will answer your first question, which is this an issue of too much rugby? It's not an issue of too much rugby. It's, you know, summer has always typically been the sevens, you know, time. And, you right. know, you have premiership teams that play summer sevens that I've seen on, you know, FS1, FS2. It sevens is around, you know, maybe it doesn't get as much publicity, but maybe this is, you know, the step forward to getting that publicity. And, you know, PR sevens is a step. I think what Scott was saying, you know, it's making small but incremental steps forward. And I think that's what needs to be done. I think some things need to be smoothed out, specifically around, you know, streaming, maybe, you know, getting a better streaming partner, mm-hmm. the Rugby Network, possibly, you know, trying, you know, collect all rugby on one kind of area, or maybe, you know, getting, you know, Fox or someone else that's main to do it. But I think, you know, small incremental steps forward. I love the fact that, you know, you have smaller, you know, less amount of teams, but, you know, right. same amount of teams, men's and women's. It made everything better. Yeah, it's a less is more. I would love to see, like, regional teams. I would love to see, you know, a Northeast regional team. That way I could, there's players that I could see and I could cheer for, maybe, you mm-hmm. know, a West Coast regional team that makes, instead of guys.
So you can identify with a side.
I can identify. Behind. So, yeah, exactly. So instead of, you know, oh, I know a player here, know a player there, know a player there, don't know mm-hmm. who to root for. If it's one regional team, I'd root
and,
for
and
Northeast team.
This is unscripted. I'm going to throw it back at you. And I think one of the things that has kind of started to emerge with sevens is that unlike the 15s game where you follow the side, right? You follow the country, you follow the team, you follow the union, whatever it may be. In sevens, it's kind of emerged that there are some that stand out above the crowd and you follow the players more. Yeah. Do you think that's something that will work for sevens in the American landscape, which is already used to that type of sports culture?
I think so. I think it adds, you know, it kind of mixes right in, makes it perfect. You know, you're going to see more and more people with, you know, Mar jerseys on their back, you know, mm-hmm. Tapper on their back, you know, Isles on their back, you know, Martin Yusefo on their back. They can sell the jerseys that have the people's right. name. And that's, I think that was something that was brought up a couple months ago with somebody might have been on the rant where, you know, you're trying to create a brand, and part of that brand is yeah. people and players. And so especially, you know, with MLR, you want, instead of a number, it's a person. And I think sevens mm-hmm. it stands out since there are less people
and
a person.
I want to add to Mike's comment. We're seeing that in Premier League lacrosse where they're doing mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a team focused on a region, but they do this. It's essentially the same thing that Premier Sevens does. They go to a stadium for a weekend. They play right. their round robin tournaments for points, and then the last one's going to be the championship based upon that point total. But each of the teams is quasi not related to a town. Now, we know, like, the Loggerheads are kind of like the Northwest, and the Loonies are kind of like the Midwest. You know, we had the Locals last year, which was like the New York team, you know, with the Subway affiliation. But it's loosely affiliated. It's not necessarily hardcore that yeah. way, and you could just be a fan of the team because you like the team.
Yeah, and what I think I would like to be able to see is more of a narrative developed behind these sides. You know, share more of the story, the origin, where they come from, the players, like get more of a narrative. And especially because you've now gone from one event to three, you have the time to do that. That's what people fall in love with, is the story as much as the action on the field. You know, they love the underdog story. They love the challenge. They love that, all of that. And I think that there's a missed opportunity in marketing because they have so much to build up to. They're done now. They got a year of building the next narrative. So that's where I feel like that, where I could see the next growth. That is not a lot of money. It's just time. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to jump on that train a bit. I think I think we're cooking with gas just in general and trying to create a more marketable product. The way to go is, okay, you know, these are kind of regionally represented teams, as Mikey said, but then you can't forget that, you know, if you're an Experts fan, you don't want to, and you have a, you know, a jersey of your favorite Experts player, let's say it's Logan Tago, And I don't want to see him next year be affiliated with another team, right?
Right.
I want him to be back in the Oxford.
Yeah.
So I've got to not only identify with players, but I want that identification to be consistent from season to season. So, you know, with that in mind, do you do these regional teams kind of draw players from the region as best as possible, right? Mm-hmm. You still got to have a balanced roster. But an example, my favorite Schmidt, Ross Depperschmidt, played for the played for the Headliners.
Yes.
And so did Devin Short. Those guys are both Midwest, you know, kind of in that central region. Well, look, you know, let's try to gather players from that central region that are kind of from that area, and they'll play for right. that central team. And now all of a sudden, as a guy that's from the middle of the country, I not only identify regionally, mm-hmm. but identify with some of the players, of course, from the team that I follow yeah. and the NOLA Gold. So, you know, it gives me more identification with that team. I think there's more right. marketable merchandise.
And I think fans
in that
will have a
And look,
bit
the
of
Rhinos
direction.
Are kind of already know. We already know the Rhinos are from, I think, aren't they from out west?
They're like, West Coast.
California.
Yeah.
California.
Yeah, West Coast team. So, I mean, that's kind of started with that piece. I think it would mm-hmm. be. I think I would like to see it
but
grow
they're not
more.
Saying they're not sharing it. We know that, but I doubt anybody else does.
Right.
And that's the missed opportunity. We're very much having the same conversation in different parts of that same conversation. So to round it all up though, you know, when it comes to the broadcast, we got some question marks of where they might go next. You know, there's some of us that may feel that Fox could have been a better home because it had more eyeballs. It was easy to be able to engage with, but then maybe it wasn't because not everybody has access. The same with the streaming, right? Hitting a younger generation is important, but what is great to be able to see that this iteration, it's already started to expand and include more of the rugby community and sporting community in general by getting everybody involved on and off the field too. So they definitely are thinking about fan engagement. Ticket sales are above average if we compare it against the rest of domestic rugby in the US. So it's certainly got more in favor for it than it does against it. So there's a lot of room to be able to grow. The calendar is going to be difficult, but the more events that they have and the more prominent it becomes, you might find that other partners might be more likely to sit down at the table with them and go, okay, let's figure this out together. When they realize that they got staying power, right? So let's leave it there. But we wanted to be able to hear from our fans of the show here on the Rugby Rant, as it is customary. Drop us a comment by following us under the handle at Rugby Rant Pod. Tell us if you think we're on par or you think we're way off base. You get the opportunity to be able to rant back at us by following us online on all our social media platforms under the handle at Rugby Rant Pod. Gentlemen, it has been a blast. As per usual, we asked and promised for a thrilling debate, and it was delivered. We're going to be back in just a few moments after we hear from one of our sponsors. We'll be back with a familiar Run Parcel Kick interview.
This ball represents the game we love. A game fueled by passion. But there are those who wear no number, nor are they in the locker room or the field of play. But they are there for every high and every low. Yes, they are watching every kick, tackle, and try score. Yes, they are there for when you need them most, because they are the Major League Rugby fans. And the time has come for you to stand with your team. Join us at shopmlr.com today.
Hockey Raymond, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you coming on the show for a couple minutes before your warm-up. We've got the Loggerheads behind us. Hockey's part of the Loonies. We got Loonies and Loggerheads, experts and headliners this year. My locals, not in the tournament this year, but we're coming back next year. So real quick, you know, we had one stop last year in the PR7s. We had three stops this year. The championship is in Austin next week. What do you feel about the brand growing and having these other stops?
I think it's great. I mean, great for the sport. Every team gets that opportunity to have the game team there. Also, like, it's fun for us. We can travel, play more rugby than one tournament. So I think having more tournaments is really beneficial.
Absolutely. Listen, we have a great bunch of Sevens fans outside. I'm hoping for the party atmosphere in here. Although it looks like we might get dumped on a little. We're getting a little bit of rain. So do you think it's an advantage or a disadvantage with a soggy pitch for Sevens?
Soggy pitch is going to be a disadvantage for both offense and defense. Some guys can't step, and some guys are going to slip when they get stepped. So it'll be fun. It's going to be a slick ball, so it's a lot more ball control and being a little narrow.
That's absolutely. So I don't know. Maybe we'll hold off on some of those awesome offloads.
I might try to do one. I don't know. Sunday Bill action. Yeah.
Exactly. Dylan Fawcett did a quick flip behind the back. Yeah. You know? So right now, this is meaningful points right here. You guys need to step up and get some points here to get on track for the graphic next week. What are your keys for the Loonies to win this one?
Our keys for one, to win our restarts. We lost the game because we lost, I think, like three in a row. And that really helped. We didn't have possession. Hard to score points. We didn't have possession. So that's the main point we're working on. We picked up Manate Play, restart specialist, one of the best players I ever played to play with or watch playing.
He's quick.
Yeah, and we got Devontae Noble. I'm going to take some ankles for sure, but exactly. I think with those keys, those guys there, and our focus on the restart, we should be a lot better.
All right, perfect. Aki, thank you so much for being on the Rugby Rant. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Hey, it's the big guy, Scott Ferrar again. Steph Rivetti with me from the Loggerheads. They're currently leading in the women's division, and as my buddy Eric Nemeth said, they're holding up the men's side in that United Championship. So, Steph, looks like the weather's going to be a little dodgy at the start. Do you think that's an advantage or disadvantage to the Loggerheads?
I think it's an advantage. I mean, I think we have such a like young, lively team that we're just like so excited to play here. It's an awesome stadium. We got the clouds, which is actually really nice, cooled it down a little bit, but I think like we're just excited to get out there.
That's awesome. You know, you got to follow up a great performance last week here in D.C. What are your keys to finish out the tournament here in D.C.?
Yeah, I think, like, coming together, we just want to stay connected. And, you know, we got a target on our back. So this whole week, we got an eye on us. Everyone's got an eye on us. And it's going to be hard to fill out a call the second time, but just kind of keeping focused, keeping connected, keeping that energy, playing together, kind of what got us that championship last year, and just, like, hitting them hard and time for week two.
Great. And also, you know, moving in next week, if you can get a lot of points here, it sets you up for the championship bracket. Let's talk about the United Championship a little bit. The boys over there, like we said, need to get some wins. Over, under, how many wins are getting for this weekend?
We've given them a lot of crap this week. We travel together. We're really a united franchise, and so, which is really cool. We go to meals together, things like that. And so, you know, they said, women, you know, you're giving us the motivation to keep up, kind of giving them a little kick in the butt. But, so I think they come together. They got a lot of young guys, too, over there. And so we told them to pick up their slack.
Awesome. Well, make sure before you warm up, ice your back, carrying them. Rugby Rant fans, we'll catch you later with the next interview.
Hey, it's the big guy, Scott Ferrara, Experts Coach Emil Walton here. Great win.
Thank you.
First match, opening match in D.C. How are you feeling?
Good. We came out a little slow out of the gates, but, you know, it's hot, humid. It feels a little spongy, so the guys aren't getting the right traction on it. But, hey, a win's a win, and we'll just have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what we need to do better.
Absolutely. You guys look besides mistakes happen, pre-match jitters, like you said, weather's tough here. I'm dying right now in this heat. I'm not even playing. But looking on to the next couple matches, how do you manage that player energy because of the heat?
Yeah, I think recovery is key. We're in the locker room right now making sure the guys are hydrated and getting ready for the next game. I think it's a mental battle at this point in time. We definitely have all the athletes to get us through the next game. It's just a matter of getting our mental game ready and getting rehydrated and just kind of getting prepped for the next game. So
awesome. Who is your man of the match for your match?
Oh, man, it's got to be Nolan. Yeah. Nolan Tamaloa. He's from Atlanta. Great kid. He's got an option to play for Tonga, Samoa, and the U.S. So
wow,
let's hope.
Look at that.
And, you know, first time on the seventh senior of the U.S., so we're very happy that we got him from Atlanta. And I want to say thank you to Stevie Brett and Yetlin to kind of sign him over to us. But very exciting future for him. I would say he definitely kind of carried it for us. We have so many really superstars. There's so many good stars in the team, so it's hard to pick one. But I think Nolan stood out, and he definitely stood out last weekend too. So let's hope that he's okay. He kind of had a knee injury last weekend, but he's still getting there.
Yeah, he's getting there. Yeah, so, Coach, thank you so much for being
on
the show.
No, thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's the big guy here again. We have Ish Shabazz, one of my friends, MLR champion.
from Rugby New York, also playing for the championship with the Headliners in the next match upcoming. It's pouring outside right now. Luckily, we have a break in between some of the matches here, so I'm just going to go ahead and... So far, how do you like the event?
Man, I mean, it's the pitch, like the rain, sucks. Not ideal for sevens, but that field is so nice.
Yeah, it's great.
That field is so nice. Like, they've been treating us real well, too, so it's been real good. The locker room's nice, so
perfect.
Everything.
I'm glad. So, I mean, so far, you've been kicking butt on the field. What's the key going into this championship match to close it out?
I mean, we just got to play our game. So it looks like we're going to be playing the experts. And when we lost to them last week in the final, that second half, I don't think we had any possession, maybe a lineout, but we completed zero passes. Like, we had no possession in the second half. So play our game with some possession, and, you know, the boys can ball.
Like, yeah, listen, experts were slinging the ball around last match, scoring. So then my last question is going to be, how much thought have you put into the United Championship now that the Headliners women just went out and beat the Loggerheads?
I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about it. Like, you know, we're giving them a tough time, like, last week. But, like, in all seriousness, like, we know, and I feel like we're clicking with them really well. Like, outside of just rugby, we're spending time with them. And, like, I don't know, like, the chemistry, not with just the men's team, but, like, the whole Headliners organization is going real well. So I'm confident in them.
Yeah, I have interviewed experts. I've interviewed Headliners. I've interviewed Loggerheads, Loonies. They all say the same thing. The teams are unified in what their goal, what they want to do on the pitch.
Yeah.
And you guys are fighting for that United championship, not just the men's and the women's.
Yeah.
So, Ish, appreciate you coming on, man. Good luck in the championship match. Hopefully we'll get you on the podium, Bernie.
Yes, sir.
All right,
yes,
see you later.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.